ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, Text 9. Sindhavo Ratna Nikaram
Sindhavo Ratna Nikaram
Girayo Nanam Chatur Vidham
Girayo Nanam Chatur Vidham
Upayanam Upajaru
Upayanam
सपालकः
सिंधवो
रत्ननीकारान्
सिंधवो रत्ननीकारान्
गिरयो ननं चतुर्विधां
गिरयो ननं चतुर्विधां
उपायानं उपाचारु
उपायानं उपाचारु
सर्वे लोका सपालकः
सर्वे लोका सपालकः
सिंधवो रत्ननीकारान्
सिंधवो रत्ननीकारान्
गिरयो ननं चतुर्विधां
गिरयो ननं चतुर्विधां
उपायानं उपाचारु
उपायानं उपाचारु
सर्वे लोका सपालकः
सर्वे लोका सपालकः
वर्ड फॉर वर्ड सिंधवा
सिंधवा
द ओशंस
द ओशंस
Ratnanikaran,
Ratnanikaran,
heaps of jewels.
Giraya,
the hills.
Annam,
eatables. Chaturvidham,
four kinds of.
Upayanam,
presentations.
Upajaharu,
brought forward.
Sarve,
all.
Loka, the people in general of all planets.
Sapalaka,
all with the governors. Translation: King Prithu was presented with various gifts from the general populace and predominating deities of all planets. The oceans and seas were full of valuable jewels and pearls. And the hills were full of chemicals and fertilizers. Four kinds of edibles were produced profusely. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Ishopanishad, this material creation is supplied with all the potencies for the production of all necessities required by the living entities, not only human beings, but animals, reptiles, aquatics, and trees. The oceans and seas produce pearls, coral, and valuable jewels, so that fortunate, law-abiding people can utilize them. Similarly, the hills are full of chemicals, so that when rivers flow down from them, the chemicals spread over the fields to fertilize the four kinds of foodstuffs. These are technically known as charva, those edibles which are chewed, lehya, those which are licked up, chusya, those which are swallowed, and peya, those which are drunk. Prithu Maharaj was greeted by the residents of other planets and their presiding deities. They presented various gifts to the king and acknowledged him as the proper type of king, by whose planning and activities everyone throughout the universe could be happy and prosperous. It is clearly indicated that in this verse that the oceans and seas are meant for producing jewels, but in Kali Yuga the oceans are mainly being utilized for fishing. Shudras and poor men are allowed to fish, but the higher classes like the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas would gather pearls, jewels and coral. Although poor men would catch tons of fish, they would not be equal in value to one piece of coral or pearl. In this age, so many factories for the manufacture of fertilizers have been opened. But when the personality of Godhead is pleased by the performance of yajnas, the hills automatically produce fertilizing chemicals, which help produce edibles in the fields. Everything is dependent on the people's acceptance of the Vedic principles of sacrifice. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this verse is in continuation with the previous verse where Maharaj Prithu is now at a point where he is actually doing this 100 horse sacrifices. And Maitreya Muni is describing it to Vidurji, how this whole process is going on. And it is mentioned, as you can see, such immense opulence that was naturally present for the human beings to enjoy, that was naturally just there for us to take and use, only if we did it in the right way. So it is just mentioned all these pages, last few verses, and this verse is in continuation of that. And then this also shows us how and why this opulence was there, and then also brings us to a point of how it is absent now, how it is slowly deteriorating, that Mother Earth is no longer giving these things that was naturally available for the people of those ages to enjoy. So you see, everything flows from top, everything flows from the leader. Whatever great men do, common men follow. That's what Lord Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. So these kings, as we see, Maharaj Prithu, they were saintly kings, they were Rajarishis. They were not at all attached to their opulence. And mind you, they had immense wealth. They had such unlimited power. And they were so great that the demigods and the leaders of other planets used to come and congratulate them. As we see, even in the past few verses, is mentioned that all the demigods, and even in this one, they say the predominating deities of all planets, they came to give him the gifts. So such was the prowess of these kings who were ruling the earth in those days. So then, Srila Prabhupada often talked about this point when he had started the Hare Krishna movement in the West. Then there were the world leaders who were not doing what they were supposed to do. There was utter chaos. There were issues at the time of Srila Prabhupada. There was poverty, there was lack of food, there were famines and floods, even in India. And the political leaders did not know what to do, how to handle them. So then, Srila Prabhupada would often discuss these topics with his followers at that time. So one time, he was with Harishori Prabhu and Hamsaduta Prabhu, and they were discussing along these lines how the leaders of the world should behave and what they should do and how the world problems can be solved. So then Srila Prabhupada was just joking with some of the, at that time, and he said, what's that word, pan? Pan, and the followers said, Srila Prabhupada, are you saying pancake? He said, no, this is what demons do. It starts with pan. And he said, okay, look up the dictionary. So the devotees looked up the dictionary and they found the word pandemonium. Pandemonium. So he said, this is what demons do. Demonium. So he said, it's, you know, they thought, oh, Prabhupada is just putting two words together. But Prabhupada actually was so great. He was an expert in the English language. And they realized that the meaning of this word in the dictionary is uproar, upheaval, violence, chaos. So pandemonium is what demons do. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. Demoniac people, they cause pandemonium. And then that's when Harishori Prabhu actually felt that, he said that Srila Prabhupada had many qualities and he was not only an expert in Sanskrit and the Bengali language, but he was also an expert in English. They were all, some of them were Britishers, some of them were Americans, yet they were learning new vocabulary from him. So this is how Srila Prabhupada mentions that demoniac leaders will cause a complete pandemonium in the society. And this is in sharp contrast to what we are being presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in these pages, especially in this chapter, for how great Maharaj Prithu is as a king. And Srila Prabhupada often said that democracy, you know, we talk of democracy today as opposed to monarchy in the old days where one person could be the king. And he was and the leaders said that there should be democracy. People should be allowed to vote. But who do they end up voting? Leaders who actually end up exploiting them. So the one word that actually describes the leaders of today is exploitation. They just exploit the masses. So that's why Srila Prabhupada called this democracy as demons crazy. It's just crazy demons doing crazy things in destroying the peace and order in society. So Srila Prabhupada was once being interviewed on BBC. He was on the BBC show and the interviewer was asking him questions. And he was talking along these same lines about how the leaders can solve the world problems. How there's unemployment and there is lack of food in the world. Those days lack of food was a big issue in the world. And he was constantly insisting on having an ideal monarch. He said there should be an ideal monarch like Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Parikshit. So then this interviewer said, now that you're giving a solution, do you have an ideal monarch? Where is that ideal monarch? Do you have one? So Srila Prabhupada thought for a moment and then he banged his hand on the table and he said, me, I am that ideal monarch. Now he was on BBC show, he was being live telecasted and he has the courage to say such a thing. But only he can do that. But you see, it doesn't mean that he was being, that there was any vanity in him, that there was any pride in him. What he meant was that if there was such a leader, then he was willing to guide them. You see, because all able leaders, all able administrators will have a council of ministers who can guide them in the right direction. And not very long ago, like we see in about just 500 years ago, Nawab Hussain Shah was ruling the state of Bengal. He was the king of Bengal at that time. And he had a Maulavi, he had a priest who could predict the future. So he had asked that priest to tell him where he could find able administrators. So as a king, he felt the need for able administrators who could help him administer the country. So then this Maulvi, because he could see the future, he predicted to him that there are two Brahmin boys in your state who are expert in administration, in financial matters and in administrating general affairs of the country. So then he actually started searching for them. And that's how he found Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who were later Rupa and Sanatan. But at that time, he gave them the names Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas. And he actually didn't ask them. He actually put a condition that if you don't work for me, then I will destroy the entire Brahmin, the Vaishnav community in the state. So they did not have a choice. Although they were from Brahmin families, they had to work for a Muslim government. But anyway, later on, Nawab Hussain Shah had himself accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a king. So he was purified and he turned to Krishna. That was later on accepted by him. So everything boils down to just one vice in the human consciousness, which is greed. It is greed that eventually leads us to hoard, to accumulate, to want more and more. And also how Srila Prabhupada here mentions the same point, in the purport, he starts by saying, as stated in Ishopanishad, this material creation is supplied by all the potencies for the production of all the necessities required by living entities. And he's referring to Mantra 2 of Ishopanishad, Isha Vashamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita Ma Grihat Kasya Swadhanam. Isha Vashyam. Isha is the Supreme Lord. Avasya means controlled. Everything is controlled by the Supreme Lord. So this point, if we can understand that everything belongs to Him and we only get a little bit to fulfill our necessities, to fill, He gives to us what is our quota, then it will be a lot easier to live a balanced life, to not become overly anxious about things, about accumulating things. So the Lord clearly says that He is the proprietor. And in Bhagavad Gita also He tells Arjuna, Aham sarvasya prabhuvo. Everything emanates from me. Mata sarvam pravartate. Aham sarvasya prabho matha sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. He's clearly saying it's all mine. So who are we to exert our influence, to exert our proprietorship over everything, of anything in fact, because it doesn't belong to us. Krishna clearly says it all belongs to him. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that in why we should believe this statement, because he says it's the Supreme Lord. The words of the Vedas are the supreme word that we must believe in, because they are not given by an ordinary person. The Vedas are given to us by the Supreme Lord himself. And he's a Purusha, means it he's not a mundane human being. You see, we human beings, if we, like the scientists these days, they give so many statements. They tell us about health, about science, about so many things around us, but it's all imperfect. And after a few months, they change what they say. One thing which is meant to be good for us, for some time, then later on say, oh, maybe it's not so good now. It's take something else. So you see, this is how the knowledge that is given to us by material, mundane people is imperfect, because it is not correct. Whereas what is given to us by the Supreme Lord, by the Vedas, by Srimad Bhagavatam, is the ultimate word. It's the absolute truth, because it is given by the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada mentions very nicely in Ishopanishad in Mantra 1, he gives a very long purport and he describes how the word of the Vedas must be believed. And that's why the first and foremost truth that we must believe is that Krishna is the supreme controller and everything belongs to him. So which automatically means that nothing belongs to us. But then Srila Prabhupada explains that although nothing belongs to us, Krishna is very kind to give us our quota, our share. He doesn't deprive us of our basic necessities. In fact, as we see in these good old days, it was generously given to us. Everything was so freely and abundantly given. You didn't have to go to grocery stores to buy fruits or vegetables or to have a house to live. Those things were just guaranteed for everyone, because there was no greed in the hearts of the people. So quota is what is our share, is what is given to us. You see, when we start comparing with others, that's when greed or envy comes in the heart, because you think, oh, I don't have this which the other person has. But if we can develop this understanding that he has what is his quota, what is his share, he has that, and what is my share, that is mine, and that I have already. So there is then this envy is one of the greatest vices that torments us. So this envy, we can sort of to a great extent control if we just develop this one understanding of my quota. What is my quota? What is my share? Let me stay satisfied in whatever Krishna has given to me. Tripti. Tripti means deep satisfaction in your heart with whatever you have. And Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that we must stick to our quota. And he gives a very nice example of a cow. He says a cow eats grass and hay and straw, and she gives milk. But she doesn't think, oh, this milk is so nutritious, let me just drink this milk. No, because that's not her quota. She doesn't drink her own milk. She gives it to human beings. This is the quota of the human beings. But you see, she eats grass. And grass is vegetarian. And grass is green. And it's very nutritious. But can we human beings eat grass? No, we shouldn't eat grass, because that is not our quota. That's the quota of a cow. She needs to eat grass, and only she can eat grass. It needs a lot of chewing the cud, it is said. So every human being, every living entity is given a body. And according to the body, there are foodstuffs that you can eat. There are other things that you can enjoy. So then this is how it is that a cow will not drink her own milk. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a tiger. A tiger cannot eat fruits. He will not eat rice. He will not drink milk. Because for him, food is given to him in the form of animal flesh. He will eat flesh. That's his food. And he does not incur any sin in doing so. Why? Because he is already in a lower species of life. And in an animal's body, there is already such great suffering that you couldn't get any worse than that. It couldn't get any worse than that. It is so bad in an animal's body. So when the animals are fighting, a tiger is chasing a deer or a doe and they are ripping apart, it looks horrible. But but a tiger doesn't get any reaction for that. Then Srila Prabhupada says that we human beings, in the body of a human being, we have a life of responsibility. It is a great responsibility that we are given a human body. And he says we need to think better than that. If we start eating meat, then how are we any better than a tiger or a lion or a fox? So he says even the animals, he makes this point that even the animals do not transgress the laws of nature. They stick to their quota. A tiger will not eat rice, a cow will not eat meat, but we human beings, we will try to eat the food that is meant for a tiger, for a cow, for even any other animal. So he says that it's a shame that we human beings who are meant to act even more responsibly than these animals, but we are acting worse than these animals. And then he also mentions that we have to understand that not just, okay, agree, if you also come to the stage, you understand that you are meant to be a vegetarian, you have to live a pious life. Yet at the same time, you have to understand that in the human body, we don't just have to be in mode of goodness. This is in mode of goodness if we understand that we have to live by the Vedic principles. And yes, we agree to live and we accept them and we live a Vedic way of life. But still, at the same time, we have to consciously awaken the dormant love for Krishna in our hearts. It is not going to happen on its own. This mode of goodness, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in Madhurya Kadambini, that it is very good to be in mode of goodness. It acts as a base platform from where you can take up bhakti very easily. For a vegetarian person, it's easier to take up bhakti because he seems to already be following some of the principles of Krishna consciousness. So that's why we have to consciously cultivate, recognize the presence and the importance of God in a life and follow that path actively. And then Srila Prabhupada also mentions in this purport the consequences of not following our quota. He says we have to understand that if we don't follow our quota, then we degrade to lower species of life. And we keep going down and down till we reach the darkest regions of the hellish planets. So those who don't live by the words of the scriptures, who do not follow the injunction of the scriptures, the end is very sad for them. It is very sad. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that he ends this purport in Mantra 1, Isha Vashyam principle, where he's describing this one in Ishapanishad. He says that one needs to be sober. As devotees, he says, yes, you can be a devotee, but not someone who's very, rough and tough. You knock this one here and you push that one there. No. In your process of trying to progress in spiritual life, you have to be sober, dhira, be a balanced individual, and take into consideration others when you're doing your devotional service. And he says, one who is sober, who knows the laws of nature, and who is not influenced by unnecessary attachment or aversion, is sure to be recognized by the Lord and thus become eligible to go back to Godhead, back to eternal home. So yes, it is good to be a devotee, but then he also emphasizes on this quality of being sober, of being dhira. You see, dhira, it's dhira statra namuhyati. In that verse, Dehinavasmin yatha dehe, it is mentioned that a sober or a dhira person does not become bewildered. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that unnecessary attachment and aversion do not disturb a sober person. They do not indulge in unnecessary attachment and do not become unnecessarily disturbed out of hatred or envy of others. So today is also the appearance day of Lochan Das Thakur. So I will also will glorify and get his blessings. It is said that on the appearance day of the Vaishnavas, if we if we speak of their lives, Leela, and we glorify them, then we get their blessings and they help us to progress in a spiritual life. So Lochan Das Thakur, when we think of Lochan Das Thakur, we think of authors, writers. So Lochan Das Thakur was the author of Chaitanya Mangal, and it is about pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord, Supreme Lord, who came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not very long ago, just 500 years ago. So in this book, Chaitanya Mangal, Lochan Das Thakur talks about some pastimes of the Lord which are unique or different from the book that Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote. He wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. So three authors and three books, and all three of them are unique in their own way. But as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are able to get a very well-rounded picture, a very whole picture given to us by these three authors of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we base all our understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and his philosophy on these three scriptures. So let's first try to understand the mood of Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das Thakur, when he's reading, when he was about to write Chaitanya Mangal, what was his mood and consciousness? He was, it's mentioned in the first, he's aspiring. Aspiring means he is desiring to have something. Now we desire to have something that we do not have, like some wealth or a house or a car. So, and he sincerely felt that he did not have the qualification to write this book. So he was aspiring that somehow my Guru Maharaj, his guru was Narhari Sarkar, that somehow my Guru Maharaj has given me this task to write this book, but I have no qualification to write this book. So somehow if he can also give me this qualification. So it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is the first qualification of an author, of a Vaishnava, that he feels completely unqualified to do the service that is given to him. And then seeks out service. Now, Lochan Das Thakur, when he was very eager to do service. And when he was given to do this service by his Guru Maharaj, he was extremely pleased. He was extremely pleased that he has been given this service. And then, and service, we all know, this is what drives a Krishna consciousness. So he was very eager to do service. He was looking to do service towards his Guru and towards other devotees. And determination, this was his third great quality that is mentioned. He was extremely determined. He was determined to serve his Guru and the devotees, and that somehow he will be able to please his Guru, so that his Guru will make him qualified, not only to do the service that he's doing, but also make him qualified to serve other devotees. So this way he took complete shelter of his Guru, and he starts in Chaitanya Mangal, he says, hope of hopes, means hoping, he's hoping against hope, that although he's so unqualified and ineligible, but yet his Guru has given him this service, and now let him also give him the ability to do that service. Now, Lochan Das Thakur was a natural poet. He was born with a poetic instinct. He was an expert in poetry and he was a musician. And Srila Prabhupada was very fond of him because Srila Prabhupada loved to sing bhajans. So Srila Prabhupada used to sing a lot of his bhajans. And Lochan Das Thakur's bhajans were mainly focused on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. So his Chaitanya Mangal is unique and different from the other two literatures given by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur, in the sense that it gives a detailed account of the conversation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with Srimati Vishnupriya, his wife, just the night before he left to take sannyas. This conversation is described in detail in this book Chaitanya Mangal. And after that, they both go off to sleep, and while she's still asleep in the middle of the night, he leaves her, and then he goes, and then he takes sannyas. So Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, and after that, Srimati Vishnupriya Mataji never ever saw him again. So this Chaitanya Mangal was written, and Lochan Das Thakur used the diary of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was more of a same age of Mahaprabhu's father. So he had more closer to his age. So he was more elderly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had parental affection towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Murari Gupta was also a physician. So he had that mood of looking after his health, of Mahaprabhu's health, and taking care of him in that sense. And then he was also present in Mahaprabhu's Navadvip Leela. He closely observed, witnessed the Lord's Navadvip Leela and part of Puri Leela. So in that sense, the account given by him is very, very close and very detailed. And that's what has been used by Lochandas Thakur to write Chaitanya Mangal. So one may say, why this presentation? So Lochandas Thakur, because he was naturally a musician and he spoke simple Bengali. So his Guru Maharaj, Narhari Sarkar, he recognized this skill in him. And he felt that simple villagers who could not understand the philosophical doctrines of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, of his instructions, they must be given something that they can understand, like that they can relate to. How will they relate to Mahaprabhu? So then he instructed Lochandas Thakur to write about the magnanimous personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and about his pastimes. So it is mentioned that in Bengal in those days, his Chaitanya Mangal had become so popular that in the evening, all the people would get together and they would recite, just like they would recite Ramayana. So then they used to recite, it became so popular, and it was so simple and poetic that even a common villager could recite it nicely. So that was the purpose of having this another book on Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So just a little bit about Lochandas Thakur's own personal life. Lochandas Thakur was born in a family of Vaidyas, physicians. And he was trained, they were practicing Vaishnavas. They were a devotee family. His father's name was Kamalakar, and mother's name was Sanandini. He was born in the Kogram village in Bengal. And he was educated in his maternal parents' village. And that's where he met his Guru Narhari Sarkar. Now, Srila Prabhupada describes that in those days, boys and girls were married very early. So he was married to his wife. He got married when he was just a young boy. And the only thing they could think of each other was like playmates. They would play games together. So anyway, so they were married, and his wife went to his parents' house and her parents' house, and he went to his guru's ashram, to Narhari Sarkar's ashram in Shrikhanda. And he grew up there. So then after some time passed, then his in-laws got worried. They wanted to find out where he is, because he's old enough, the girl is now old enough, they're both now ready to start their Grihastashram. So they go looking for him, and they come to know that he's living with his guru, his Narhari Sarkar, in Shrikhanda. So then they approach his guru and they say, please, he has taken his vows and he's married, so you please let him come and meet his wife. And Narhari Sarkar is very considerate and he understands. And he says, okay, I will send him to meet his wife. And he speaks to Lochandas Thakur, who's very hesitant. He's completely detached and he's not willing to go back to start a Grihastha life. So, but it's his guru's instruction. So he agrees to go. So then he goes back to his in-law's village. But he has not been there in so many years. He only went there once when he was a little child. And now he can't find the house. He's looking for the house. So then he sees a lady getting water from the well. She's filling water from the well in the pots. And she asks her mata, can you tell me so-and-so's house? So she directs him. And then he finally reaches his in-law's home. So when he reaches there, his in-laws are very pleased to see him, that he's finally back and that their daughter will be happy. So the daughter is just outside, she will come back in a minute. So then she comes in with those pots of water. And then Lochandas Thakur realizes that she is the same lady who had given her directions to his in-laws' house. And he says, I have addressed her as a mother. So now I see her as a mother from the depth of my heart. I have that reverence and respect for her as a mother. I cannot have her as my wife now. So this is a strange arrangement of the fate, of the destiny, that he could not progress further. So then after some days, his in-laws just let him go. They couldn't keep him because they saw that he was too detached to start a family life. So you see, this is how it is divine arrangement of the Lord, that he never had to live in family life, and he went back to his guru's ashram. And in this way, he continued his devotional life there under the shelter of his guru. So, and it is mentioned in Chaitanya Mangal that there are five fingers. You see, there are five fingers. And if you dip one of them in honey and you lick it, it tastes very good. And then if you try to lick the other four, they don't taste very good. They don't have that sweetness. So Lochindas Thakur says that when a devotee takes up devotional service, then he's licking this finger and he's tasting this nice honey. He's tasting the sweetness of spiritual life, of devotional service to the Lord. And then his material life, it becomes very distasteful. It doesn't become, it's not very attractive to him anymore. So he says this is how a devotee progresses. The more and more he tastes spiritual life, the more and more he engages in devotional service, he becomes very attractive to it because it's very enlivening. And then slowly and slowly all these material desires, whatever little are left, they fall away. Slowly and slowly they just go away. He describes this very beautifully in his book, Chaitanya Mangal. Now this book, Chaitanya Mangal, it was prior to him, Vrindavan Das Thakur's book was also called Chaitanya Mangal. So then all the saints of Raja at that time, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they felt that there's going to be confusion. There are two books with the name Chaitanya Mangal. The one Vrindavan Das Thakur has written and the one Lochindas Thakur has written. So then they all get together and they decide that we must change one of the names. And they felt that Vrindavan Das Thakur is none other than an incarnation of Vyasadeva. And because Vyasadeva has written Srimad Bhagavatam, so Vrindavan Das Thakur's book will be called Chaitanya Bhagavat because he has mentioned or he has written the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes written by Vrindavan Das Thakur were renamed to Chaitanya Bhagavat from Chaitanya Mangal. And Lochindas Thakur's book remained the same. It was called Chaitanya Mangal as it is. So this confusion was resolved. So that's why we now know three different books and three different authors and the different presentations, the different unique characters that each three of them have. Now in Chaitanya Mangal, Lochindas Thakur mentioned the pastime where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is with his followers. They're all doing Harinam and suddenly he picks up a mango seed and he puts it down in the ground. And within seconds, it grows into a big tree. A lot of mangoes come on it, a lot of fruits. And then he tells his followers, just watch this tree. And they're all looking at it and thinking, wow, so many mangoes, so many fruits. And then one of the followers actually even picks up a mango and gives it to Mahaprabhu. But he says, watch this tree. And then the next second, the tree disappears. And they're all a bit shocked, what happened? And Mahaprabhu says, this is what Maya does to you. When you are nicely admiring the mangoes on the tree and you have developed this desire and attachment to eat them, it disappeared. So this is how Maya tricks you. You see? He says, this is how, when you're attached enough to your material creations, your possessions, he says, then that's when Maya tricks you and takes them away. This is how she gives you misery and suffering. He says, so this is how you have to stay detached. He says, you have to stay detached. And he says that we will get fruits of actions. We are all action-oriented. We have to perform some action. So we will get fruits of actions. But what do we do with those fruits of actions? We give them to Krishna. You see, everything that we have, if we serve Krishna with all our services or our skills or our abilities, then it doesn't bind us. But if we don't, then it binds us. And then it becomes sinful. Then like it's mentioned, like Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, if you are not offering whatever you have to the Lord, then it is sin. You're verily eating sin. So to avoid that, we must, whatever we have, we are karosi, that That shloka clearly says, whatever you offer, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you eat, you do it as an offering to me. You think of me. So when you do that, then you do not incur sin. So in this way, his book Chaitanya Mangal is full of very sweet and nice pastimes and very nice examples of how Maya tricks us and how Mahaprabhu has been instructing his followers in this way. So I'll conclude here and let's all seek the blessings of Lochandas Thakur. Shri Lochandas Thakur ki
Jai.
Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You know, you mentioned about the three books.
Yeah.
And just curious, why does Prabhupada choose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita over other two? Is there any mention of it?
I couldn't come across any reference as to why he only did that. But yes, he and also, mind you, remember that he had very limited time.
Yeah.
It is mentioned in Prabhupada Lilamrit that he actually did first few cantos. And after that, he jumped to Krishna book.
Yes.
He didn't do the rest of the cantos first. He wrote Krishna book. And because he felt that this was the most important part of Srimad Bhagavatam, like a summary of 10th canto, that he had to give us. So he was picking and choosing based on what was extremely important for his disciples to know and understand. Probably that could be along that lines, that he actually preferred to choose that one and not this one. But his main priority, because he knew, especially after only a few years of his living overseas, he had got very sick and he had to come back to India. So after that, he recovered from that. But then after that, he had become very anxious to finish his work, especially those works that were important instructions to his followers for us to help in Krishna consciousness. So could be one of those reasons. But I couldn't find anything explicitly saying why he chose that one over these two.
This narrative is reflected by Narayana Prabhu. He says that Prabhu was given a choice of selecting between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, Prabhupada put it to the disciples, which one should I translate? And at the time when disciples were not really knowing the aspect of which one. So they just have to go, I know, whatever. But disciples just came out with extra in Chaitanya. And then Prabhupada said, okay, I'll translate this. No, actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But of course, they're both in value is same. Whereas in the mood of translating, the mood of Vrindavan Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavata, he presented very elaborately in all the pastimes between his birth till to sannyas. Very deep. If you look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna's Kaviraj so often gives brief, in those pastimes, which Vrindavan Thakur has already explained in detail, but he gives more details, more elaboration in the after sannyas. Mm-hmm. Slight difference of variation in those two works, but they equally. That's what I heard.
Just want to make one comment on that.
Yes, sir.
The one difference is, as you pointed out, between the Chaitanya and also philosophically, Chaitanya is much more philosophical than Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it is strongly based on Bhagavat philosophy and. It elaborates a lot of Bhagavatam. So there are 300 verses from Bhagavatam in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when we look into other Goswami writings, philosophical writings like Sandarbhas, which are the thematic presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam, so there is quite a lot of parallel between those writings, philosophical aspects, in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
So we can see in terms of philosophy, Chaitanya Charitamrita is
more deep and
more
deep.
Okay,
yeah.
So actually for since we are
Bhagavatam
and next Chaitanya Charitamrita is really whatever it coincidentally took place, but it was really appropriate
to do
from, because if you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand Bhagavatam better. Just like we understand Bhagavad Gita better if we study Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
So that connection.
Yes, Mother.
Mother, you mentioned about mangoes. I was told these mangoes had no skin. All full of juice. Is that right?
That was another pastime, Prabhu, in which the mangoes, because Mahaprabhu was doing Hari Kirtan and the devotees got very tired doing it. And then so that, and then he planted the seed and all the mangoes just came, and that also was, they were very quickly manifested. And all the devotees were eating the mangoes and his followers were very happy and pleased. Yes, that's another pastime. But this is like a different pastime in which Mahaprabhu is trying to instruct them about how Maya tricks us. Yeah, that's it. That's right. Granth Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.